A horde of shirtless boys fell to the ground with a thud. Then, responding to a signal that only they could hear, they scrambled back to their feet. Next, the frenzy. A surging mass of boys, wild, hungry, and ready, pumping their fists into the air, flinging long arcing kicks at no one but the gods to whom they were offering their urgent bodies. Their spasms were a ritual calling for the gods to possess them and infuse them with the necessary strength and invulnerability to fulfill their campaign. By then, Fu Chi Hao had heard much about these infamous martial artists, known as boxers, who were killing Christians throughout northern China, looting homes and burning churches. But this was the first time that the lanky young Chinese teacher was seeing them in person. As if in a trance himself, Chi Hao pushed through the crowd, trying to see past the flock of onlookers like his life depended on it. To be fair, it kind of did. Chi Hao was not just any man among the hundreds of spectators watching the boxer ritual. No, he was the target of these very practices. He was a stranger among strangers, a Christian in a country where many detested Christians, and a Chinese native who lived and worked with foreign missionaries. It began with an illness, a piercing pang deep inside Mr. Fu's chest. Back then, Chi Hao, Mr. Fu's youngest son, was only a baby, and all Mr. Fu wanted was to admire his youngest child. Instead, he spent his days stooped and in agony, visiting physician after physician, searching for relief and finding none. He knew the pain would soon kill him. Desperate, Mrs. Fu burned incense in the temples, begging the gods to cure him. She vowed to eat only the blandest of food until he recovered. When that didn't work, she bid the implacable gods to take 20 years of her life and give them instead to her beloved husband. She even followed the orders of the town's shaman, performing a complex ritual in the serpent-infested yard of a derelict temple. But her husband still did not recover. After 2 years of this misery, a neighbor returned from a trip with information. He had heard that English doctors in the port city of Tianjin could remedy any illness. The family did not have much money, so Mrs. Fu sold some valuables for her husband's travel. There, at last, the miracle for which they'd searched. The doctors performed a painful but successful surgery. Mr. Fu was finally cured. Now for the doctors, this was not just a surgery. It was an opportunity to convert a heathen. That was why they were in China in the first place. Your recovery is due not alone to the skill of doctors, but also to the grace of the true God, they told Mr. Fu. And little by little, Mr. Fu became convinced that the evangelists were right. Mrs. Fu? Not so much. At first, she wanted nothing to do with Christianity, fearing that her friends and neighbors would judge her harshly if she converted. Mr. Fu solved this issue by hiring a cart and relocating the family to a mission in Tongzhou near Beijing, where they would not only be accepted, but would also be able to reap the advantages that the missionaries provided. Living there, Mrs. Fu too became a disciple of Christ. Growing up, Chi Hao knew no other life. His parents sent him to mission schools, and then to the North China College, an academy that trained Chinese students to become Christian teachers. When he graduated, Chi Hao headed to Shanxi Province in northern China to teach in a Congregationalist mission run by a tight-knit group of missionaries from Oberlin College in Ohio. One April day during his first year in Shanxi, Chi Hao woke up with a terrible headache. By the next morning, he could barely stand up. A brutal bout of typhus fever was ravaging his body. The disease was known for its ruthlessness, and people were rightly scared of contagion. But one of the Oberlin missionaries, Dwight Howard Clapp, stayed by his side and nursed him back to health, while other missionaries cooked for him and sent him gifts. Such kindness, he later wrote, I can never repay. I can never forget. Just like his father had experienced, the benevolence that the missionaries exhibited in the face of illness transformed Chi Hao. Perhaps this was why he was now willing to stand by the missionary's side in their time of need.